You are listening to the Double A Club, and this is your host, NY Boom, and my co-host, Big Daz. We'll be talking about trending topics and healthcare. And basically, just as a disclaimer, just to let the listeners know that this is just basically on our opinions and speculations. And I hope you guys enjoy the show. Let's start off and kick off with our first topic.
Gotcha. And so you box also, I can tell.
Well, I don't box, like I'm not on the big stage or anything like that.
Yeah.
What it is growing up, I've always been into martial arts. Mm-hmm. And I've always been into sports. And growing up, you know, you always slap box, you always put gloves on, you practice, you wrestle, you do this. I've always loved boxing. Mm-hmm. My father has instilled that in me. So I've always been trained. So I've always been involved with boxing. And I'm not here to say that I'm the best boxer in the world. I'm only here to say that I love boxing, and I do know how to box, but I've never boxed professionally. So I like to let people know that, like, a lot of times people say, hey, you know, and people that don't know about boxing, they probably will assume if they see me hitting a bag, oh, man, did you box in Cuba? Did you box in Mexico? You know, like, people that don't know me that well, and I thought, hey, listen, I box in my basement, and I love doing it, and I will never stop doing it. It's something that I don't get paid to do. I'm not out there fighting. Never did. And I like to let people know that, because you got sometimes there are people that will tell you that they did this and that, and they didn't. And maybe they appear that they did, but they didn't. And that's one thing I don't want to do is lie on something that I love, which is boxing. But I definitely love boxing.
I got you. I mean, I've seen the videos. You're a pretty good boxer. I mean,
Thank you, sir.
You hit the speed bag very well. You do all that stuff pretty good. You are doing it. So I mean, if you don't compete or do compete, that's your prerogative. But you're pretty good at the bag. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just acknowledging
that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
I used to box too when I was younger. I was being trained by Golden Gloves in my building.
Wow.
Me and my brother. Yeah, he used to train us. And when I was young too, I took martial arts and did boxing and everything. But in the last, I like to say, the last seven years, I kind of stopped doing everything. Like, I don't wrestle, I don't do anything. So, like, it's just, my body can't continue doing it anymore. For me personally, everybody's different. For me, I couldn't continue doing it. So, so I just completely stopped. But you're good at the boxing, man. Game recognized game, you know, and I'm recognizing game. You're pretty good at the boxing. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. You know,
I feel like I'm
training to fight diabetes and also training so I could train my son, my two sons. You get it? Like, I feel like I'm getting ready for them so I can manage them.
that is great, because I do the same. My son is 13 years old, and I'll tell you right now, it's wonderful when I get to train him in some boxing. You know, trained my daughter how to fight, and now I'm training my son, and it's wonderful passing that on to your kid. You know, especially, you know, when you've made mistakes and you know your mistakes are, you teach your kid not to make that same mistake.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
And I made a lot of mistakes, because I got into a lot of fights when I was young. So there's a lot of mistakes made.
And did you grow up in Marble Hill, or did you grow up somewhere else?
No, I'm from 231st in Kingsbridge. But we did, I mean, we played football in Marble Hill a couple of times with Smurf and them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So when we was coming up, they had BC and Kennedy. I remember BC guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
you remember Abel? You remember Abel?
Yes, I remember all of them. Abel, Mike, all of them. Anthony.
Mahisto.
Hondo. Hondo.
Cool, man, Chago, remember Chago?
Yeah. We used to play against them all the time, man.
That's my point. So then you got to know my cousin Eddie.
Probably so.
Yeah, you got to know him too. Yeah.
We even played the guys in Bailey. Our street was a team. We had a team in our street. So we would go to the neighborhoods. Each neighborhood, Bailey, Marble Hill, would play Crunch Bunch, BC, in football.
And then how about Heath Avenue? I know Heath Avenue. Yeah.
Well, Heath Avenue didn't really play sports.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
They were into passing out their production.
Copy.
That's the nicest way I could say it, okay?
I like that. I like that.
They weren't into sports. They were into making money, so they didn't play sports with us. But we played Bailey, Waffle Hill, BC, CB. We played Godwin Terrace. We used to play all of them in football, baseball, whatever sport. Basketball sometimes, but basketball we didn't play teams because we would go to PS24 and we played basketball up there. We used to play in Bailey, but Bailey had had a construction at one time. On their basketball court, so that was like closed down for like 2 years.
Yeah, Bailey was the spot. I mean, they had they had the smaller courts.
Yeah,
with some people dunking on them.
Yep. Bailey was the spot, and then they closed it down for 2 years for construction. Then we started playing in 24, and then when Bailey got opened, we just never went back.
Look at that.
Yeah,
I used to always play ball. On K-Pac, I used to play ball in K-Pac. I used to play ball. Even when I graduated 141, I always went back.
I remember you playing ball in Marble Hill also. Didn't you play in one of those tournaments?
That
they have over there?
I think I played in one tournament in Marble Hill. I did a lot of Orchard Beach tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly I played a lot of street ball, like a lot of just ball with the fellas.
Yeah. You know, but Marble Hill would have a street ball tournament every year.
Yeah, I think I was there once. I don't think I did that tournament like that. Because I remember being there with Rob Brooks and Byron. I don't know if you remember Byron.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of the guys, Vaughn from the Promenade, like all these guys that played ball, we used to play ball with them too.
Yeah,
it was a lot of us. It was a lot of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old days, man. Real good days.
Yeah, some good days. That's childhood. Kids now don't get that.
No, they don't. That's a whole nother story right there.
that is a completely different story. So I brought you onto the podcast because I saw your post, and in your post, you was talking about how you lowered your A1C to, I believe it was 6.7, you said, or I don't remember. I know it was under 7.
I got you. It was 6.2.
Okay. Yeah.
And I lowered it to 6.0.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been struggling with that for about, I want to say 15 years of the A1C going up and going down a little bit, going up, going down a little bit. And because I'm obsessive compulsive, it stresses me out because I'm hard on myself where it's like, okay, I got a 6.3. Oh, it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And I know some people say, you know, you know, you're going overboard with the way you're handling it. But I saw my grandfather with his legs cut off when I was a kid, and it traumatized me. Yeah. He died of diabetes.
Yeah, my mom died of diabetes, also kidney failure.
Oh man, sorry to hear that, man.
It's all right, man. It happens. We were prepared for it. But yeah, so I saw the thing, and I was like, this is incredible, and the reason why it was personal to me is because I'm a diabetic myself, and I found out I was diabetic 6 years ago, and my experience was crazy. Like, when I found I was pale, I was working in the jail at the time, so I'm watching inmates, and my skin is going pale, my sugar's elevated, and I'm not feeling well, and I'm seeing shit blurry. Like, I can see, but it's blurry. And my supervisor was like, "You don't look good. Like, you want to go home?" I said, "No, I want to finish the shift. I'll go to the doctor once we get out in the morning." I was working night shift at the time. So I went to the doctor that morning, and when I get tested, the motherfucking the blood glucose meter read 13 above.
Yeah.
So my sugar was my sugar was over, it was over 13. I went to the emergency room immediately that morning to get treated, and they pumped IV on me and everything, and then they lowered my A1C, that my blood sugar, down to like 10, and then they was like, all right, you're good to go. And and for me, I've been battling for like 6-7 years trying to lower it from a 13 down to what I'm at now, currently 6.7. And I can remember that even when they checked my glucose levels, my shit was over 500. So like, I was like, my shit was, I was crashing. And I blame it on the diet. You know what I'm saying? It was mm-hmm. completely the diet. And for me, it was a lot of the energy drinks. I was pumping down, because I was working nights. So I was pumping Monsters and Red Bulls, two cans a day, a night, to try to stay up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get fired. And that just kept me up, elevated all the time, till my body crashed and said, yo, this is enough. We can't continue doing this. And I went to the hospital. So this is why when I saw your thing, I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, he's suffering from A1C, from diabetes and everything. So I was like, I got to have him on my podcast, and we got to talk about it. I want to know how you first found out, when you found out, how did you feel experiencing that the doctor telling you that you're diabetic, and then your challenge, your road from where you were at to where you are now, to being, you're probably diagnosed probably as a pre-diabetic now, but still borderline, right?
Yeah, so pre-diabetic.
You still have to watch your diet, because you could easily step over that line and become a diabetic right away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one, man, because like around, I want to say 13 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they hit me with the, hey, man, you're 210 pounds of lean, mean muscle. What are you doing, doctor tells me. I said, I'm lifting a lot of weight. What are you taking? Are you taking creatine? I'm like, no, I'm taking whey protein, Isopure, Myoflex. Like, I was taking a whole bunch of, like, not drugs, not anything like that. I was taking in a lot of protein powders,
and
making a lot of protein shakes.
You was doing a bodybuilding diet.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think that the diet that I started doing when I was lifting a lot of weights was right for me. And I'm going to explain I'm going to try to explain it the best way I can. I was doing all of these different powders, putting them in my drinks. I was putting them in pancakes. I was putting them, you know, what is it? The shakes, everything. So while I was doing that, I was taking in a whole bunch of calories, and I was taking in more sugar than I thought I was taking. So I wasn't even stressing sugar, because I'm 210 pounds. I'm strong. I'm diesel. They call, you know, at the time, that's what they would say, a diesel. And I felt good, but I'm going to tell you, as being 210,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really playing basketball that well.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you.
Wasn't,
because I was less either. Nimble. Yeah. I wasn't boxing at that time.
Okay.
I was not boxing at that time. I was just lifting a lot of weights, and I was going crazy with the weights, and it was not helping me. The doctor tells me, hey, you got to stop using the whey protein, the protein powder. It's going to mess up your kidneys, you know? And I was like, you're kidding me. And he's like, yeah. And then another thing, your A1C is 6.3. So you got to stop, chill out with the cookies. Now, my doctor was my friend, because I worked at the hospital, and my doctor and I, we were cool. I worked there. I'm a financial representative there. And we all used to eat at the luncheons. And when it came to the luncheons, I was eating everything.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I don't mean to bring race into this, but when you're black and Latino, we have a tendency to have a lot of the same diets that maybe people from the Mediterranean don't have. Maybe people from mm-hmm. Ireland don't have. And mm-hmm. I say this respectfully because I love all races and I love all people. But it just happens to be, unfortunately, for our people, we have a lot of bread, a lot of rice, yeah. a lot of sugary foods. When I say food, I mean flan, it doesn't matter if you're Puerto Rican, Cuban, Dominican, you could be Jamaican, wherever you're from, the certain diet that we have pretty much doesn't behoove us. And now, at this very point, because I've been going back and forth with the A1C, I said to myself, that's it. I'm going to stop eating rice. I'm going to eat quinoa. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to eat bread. I'm just going to have avocado with eggs. I'm definitely not doing whey protein. And I'm not doing any of those drinks, power drinks. What is the drink you said? You named two of them.
Energy drinks.
They give you palpitations. And they have, if it doesn't have sugar, it has saccharin. You know, if it doesn't have sugar, it has something else. Like if it's a diet Coke, you might as well drink water. So what happens is all these diet drinks, they have other ingredients in them that are also messing us up from different areas of our body. So I said to myself, I am going to drink water every day. I'm not drinking orange juice. I'm not drinking no apple juice. If I'm going to make a juice, I'm going to make my own juice with a juicer. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing floats, smoothies. I'm not doing ice cream. Like I said to myself, and I've been doing it for 5 months. I got one more month. April 15th, I'm going to check my A1C. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, if it's not lower than a 5.8, I'm going to be really mad. Because at this very point, I'm really not eating. I'm not drinking my calories. Man, for the last 2 weeks, I don't even drink Bustelo Cafe.
Yeah.
And you know how hard it is to stop drinking Bustelo?
That is.
You know how hard that is? Yeah. And I'm doing it because my wife can't drink coffee because she's breastfeeding. So why am I going to make coffee for my wife to smell so that way she could get jealous while I'm drinking my Bustelo?
Yeah.
So
I got you.
I have not drank coffee in 2 weeks. I have not been getting headaches, knock on wood. So these, yeah. I'm throwing these at you because you're telling me that you have a 6.7.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely never been about exercise for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about diet. And I'm going to tell you, no matter what exercise I've done, it doesn't get rid of prediabetes.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that you got to stop exercising.
And you're completely right, because to be honest with you, I was a trainer for 15 years. I trained at Lucio Roberts. I trained at Bally's. I trained in Equinox. I trained in Club
Ace.
I trained in Gold's Gym. I trained in several gyms and was successful in all these gyms. So it was never the workout. The biggest I ever got was at 239 pounds, and I was like 15% body fat. Like I had body fat, but very, it was a low body fat. And it wasn't the exercise. The exercise helps with diabetes. It can help, but if you don't have the proper nutrition to it, then it's not effective at all. The diet, the exercise is not going to do anything. So yeah, I completely agree with you on that. But it doesn't. I mean, we have plenty of sports figures, boxers, MMA fighters, bodybuilders who are diabetics.
Look at that.
And it's not the workout. It's your intake. Yeah, and it's sad to say. you're completely mm-hmm. right with us as Hispanics, because I know as myself growing up, you know what I'm saying, my mom would give us a bowl, like, and I mean, like, this bowl was huge. It looked like something, like, that you would use as a decoration for something in the house, right? But this was my bowl to eat, you know, and she would fill that bowl up with rice and beans and then put, like, one piece of meat. And I'm like, what? Okay, cool. And I eat it all. Never leave anything behind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was like a soldier. You know? So
no, we have that in common.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree with you. It's in our diet, you know what I'm saying? And another thing that a lot of people don't understand and don't know and not aware of is that a lot of the proteins have a lot of sugar or have a lot of carbohydrates. So you have to, if you are going to be buying, consuming proteins, you have to look at the labels and try to find the ones that are lower. You can have protein, whey protein and stuff like that, but it has to be low in carbohydrates and it has to be low in sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I now my diet consists of more protein, so I consume more shakes and bars and more meats and stuff like that. But I try to buy my shakes on very low carbohydrates. Like my shakes don't have more than like 15 or 20 grams of carbohydrates or sugar.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I try. I'm a label looker.
Yeah,
I made the mistake once to buy a protein, buy one of the popular protein. Muscle Milk. That's what it was. I bought that Muscle Milk.
I love Muscle Milk.
That shit fucking raised my sugar to like almost 300. And I was like,
I'm glad you're telling me this.
Why is my sugar so high? Then I read the label and I was like, yo, this thing has like 45 or 50 grams of carbohydrates and it's got like 10 grams of sugar. 45 grams of carbohydrates and 10 grams of sugar. That is literally 55 grams of shit you shouldn't have. And then your sugar, when it metabolizes that, it doubles it. So your sugar is going to go mm-hmm. up over 100 milligrams because you just had 55 grams.
Look at that.
Thank you for listening to the AA Club. Listen to us next episode to continue this topic. If you want to reach us on the email, it's AAClubPodcast@gmail.com. Catch you on the next one.